This morning's Bible reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 14 to verse 30. It's entitled, The Parable of the Bags of Gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thanks be to God for his word.
Well, let's pray to God as we approach his word, his Bible. Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you that you are good to us and give us good things. As we look at this parable of Jesus now, we pray that you would teach us through it and feed us. We pray that you would give us hope for the future. We pray that you will use my words for your glory. Amen. Well, I'm sure those of you who are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and many other sorts of people that have some relation to a child, a little person may have already asked you for what present they want for Christmas. They've already said, I really, really want this or that. That time is approaching when they are looking forward to receiving that enormous gift. Friday was Black Friday. Don't know how many of you went and made use of the sales that were going on. And the Christmas shopping hype is really starting. We've been bombarded with adverts for new things. I had to go to a course in York yesterday, and we spent a lot of time on the Ring Road as people were crawling in and out of the different shopping centres. This Friday is the day when we crack open those advent calendars and get the chocolates out of them, and the wet countdown for Christmas really begins. But Advent, that time in the run-up to Christmas that we're entering, is not just about children waiting and counting down the days until they get their enormous present. Neither is it just about adults waiting until Boxing Day when they can put their feet up and it's all over. Advent is a period of waiting, yes, but originally it was a period of waiting for even better things than we might be waiting for this Christmas. It was a time of waiting eagerly for the very greatest gift ever, the birth of Jesus, and a time of waiting for the great, very greatest rest too, Jesus' second coming, when he will bring in his new world and we will enter finally his rest. So Advent is a time of thinking about waiting for Jesus. And that's why we're looking at this little passage today. It's when we wait with those who waited for the first Christmas and we wait with them in their hope. They had hope that a king would be born who would rescue, free and save them. That was Jesus. But it's also a time when we also think about the wait that we're currently in from Jesus's. Jesus was born at Christmas, wasn't he? He then lived and taught, and then he was executed by the Romans, and then he rose to life again, and he went back to heaven. We were talking about that just now, and we were looking at the creed where we were baptizing Emily. But then the promise is, the hope is that Christians have, is that one day Jesus will return. And he will not return as a tiny baby in a manger, but this time in splendor and glory as the true divine king of the whole wide world. He will bring in his new kingdom of justice, hope, and forgiveness to the earth and completely recreate the world. And so we read this little passage today from Matthew's Gospel, and we're studying in growth groups too, as a way of helping us to think about this time of Advent and how we wait for Jesus to return again. The run-up to Jesus' second coming, when he will be fully revealed as king and will judge the world and make every wrong right and bringing in his future kingdom. We're waiting for it. We're waiting for that hope. But how do we wait for it? And Jesus told us this little story to help us as we wait, to help us to know how to wait. So it's a parable, which is like a figurative story, a story from normal life or nearly normal life, which explains a deeper spiritual truth. We're not to read it literally. It's not about God giving us bags of gold. And it's not a comment on banking either. It doesn't even mean that Jesus approved of what he talked about. There's some things he uses in his parables that we know he doesn't approve of. And back then, the Jewish people weren't even allowed to lend and receive money for interest. So it's not about finance. It's not about that. It's meant to make some points to us spiritually for how we are to act as we wait for Jesus to return. We can't take every detail of the story and compare it to our spiritual situation. It makes one or two points that Jesus wants to make to us. And we see these points made throughout this little part of Matthew's Gospel. He keeps on teaching us these same things. He's been very clear in his teaching that he will return one day after he's gone to heaven, and he will come to judge and purify the earth. And he's very particular. No one will know when this happens. No one can predict this end of the world as we know it. And so he's told us to be ready and to wait for him to come. And now he's beginning to tell us how we should wait for his return, or indeed how we should live in preparation for it. That could happen any time, or indeed our lives could be cut short too, which will have much the same effect from our perspective. So Jesus is telling us what waiting for his return should look like. Because when Jesus tells us to be ready and wait for him earlier on, we might get the impression that we need to be a little bit like Fireman Sam. We need to put our house in order, you know, put our kit on, get our fire engine ready, and then we go up to the mess and we sort of put our feet up, make ourselves a cup of tea and wait for the call to come. But it's not like that. This parable starts us on a new chapter in Jesus' teaching, and it says to us, actually, it's not just about sitting and waiting. It's about actively working for God and for Jesus as we wait for him to return, to make good use of all the things that Jesus has given us and God has given us, so that we might have something to show to our master when he returns that he will see and approve of. So let's go through this little story step by step and see what Jesus wants to teach us. The story starts with a man going on a journey and entrusting some of his wealth to his servants while he's away. This master is meant as a picture of Jesus returning up to heaven. And this master hands out talents in the old translation, or bags of gold in the Red Bible. And in the original Greek, this story was written in, the word was talentons. And it was basically a shed load of money. Okay, it was a weight and then it was a shed load of money. It's something like 15 to 20 years wages back then. So that's quite a big chunk of money, isn't it? For us today, that might be several hundred thousand pounds, depending on how well you're paid. So a servant would not normally be expected to look after this big shed load of gold. It's a lot of wealth. So bags of gold is quite an appropriate translation of the word. But if this is a parable illustrating a spiritual truth, what are these bags of gold that we're getting from Jesus? What is the spiritual truth they are there to represent? What is Jesus giving us while we wait for his return? Because of this very story of Jesus, a talent in English has come to mean skills we excel in. I don't excel in many things. I don't excel in baking. I don't have a talent for that. But some have a talent for bakery or a talent for sport. I don't have that one either. I'm sure I do have some. But that's what it means to us. And we mustn't read it in that narrow definition. Yes, it includes that sort of thing, the skills and giftings that God has given us. But it's a much wider thing that Jesus is saying. He's talking about all the amazing blessings that God has given to us through him. It's the gift of free forgiveness. It's the gift of coming in and into the family of God and knowing God's love. It's the privileges, the opportunities, the character, the spiritual gifts which God has given to us as followers of Jesus. That gift of new life, the gift of being forgiven of our sins. It's all those things. It's every wonderful gift God has given us. All the gifts and benefits which Jesus has won for us on the cross, they are meant for us to be equipped. They're meant for a purpose, so that we can use them to serve God in the world. Those are the riches, the bags of gold, which Jesus gives us to look after while we await his return. He wants us to understand that being ready, waiting for him, consists not in primarily just keeping our slates clean and just getting there, but in active, responsible, and faithful service. So we hear that two of the men invest their gold and one hides it. And Jesus is using these financial dealings, gold, investment, banking, to illustrate what it looks like to wait for him to return well. Then the master returns to settle accounts. And this is the picture again of Jesus returning and then holding us to account for what we've done in this life, to come in judgment. That theme of judgment has run right through these passages in Matthew. And this master, we're told, was away for a long time. That's another theme that's run through this part of Jesus' teaching. He will be a long time in coming, Jesus is trying to tell us. So he's already been 2,000 years, so that is quite a long time. But it's really good that he did say it would feel like a long time waiting for him to return, so that we would not give up hope or give up waiting well for his return. So then, moving on, what did the master say to the servants who invested those bags of gold well and doubled their investment? He said to them an amazing thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. These two servants, in their master's absence, had served him faithfully. They hadn't thought, he's away a long time. You know what? I'll just go off and do my own thing. I'll take a break. Or, well, I'll tell you what, I'll use this money for myself to have a good life. And then, you know, in the future, I'll try and find some money to replace it. No, they didn't do any of that. They remained loyal to the master, serving him the whole time of his absence. And for us, that looks like giving all those things that God Jesus has given us, all those wonderful privileges, to fulfill our responsibility as a follower of Jesus, to use what God has given us to build up the church, to work for Jesus, to be a witness to him, the role that Jesus has given us when we read the Gospels. The key point that Jesus wants to teach us is we need to be faithful to him, our absent master, because he will one day return and want to know about the work we've done on his behalf. And those good servants were not just good businessmen, they were faithful to their master. And so he says they were good. And in response to their faithfulness, the master promises them greater responsibility in the future too, and to share his happiness and joy. And this points to the reward to us for faithful service for Jesus. We know that we'll know the full joy of God when we join him in the age to come. And Jesus says a very interesting thing, doesn't he? You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Just think about that. It's quite a strange way of describing 100 years' wages in gold, a few things. Jesus is trying to say, actually, that money, all the stuff you have in this life, actually, in the future life, everything you have will be far exceed everything you've had in this life, everything you've tasted, everything you've looked after. In that new age, the life we live will make all we had in this life look like a pittance. Our hope for the future is so amazing as Christians. But then we turn to the other servant, who does not invest his bag of gold, but hides it instead. He's strongly rebuked by his master. We read that he hid the gold because he feared his master. And actually, when you read it, it's quite strange, because through all this story to this point, the master has been very generous. He's given all of them tons of money to look after, trusted them with great things, and then rewarded massively those who, far in excess of what they earned, he's rewarded those who served him well. So he's been amazingly generous. He might have harvested where he hadn't sown and gathered where he hadn't scattered seed, as the third servant says, but the master had not been hard. The master indeed agrees that he has harvested where he hasn't sown, but he doesn't agree that he is hard. And the master discerns that it's because of fear that this servant has been lazy. Fear is always a great danger. While the previous two servants were good and faithful, this one is wicked and lazy because of his fear. He misunderstood the master and he shirked on his responsibility. The third servant failed to grasp what was required of him. He thought it was all about his security, keeping himself safe until his master returned, keeping the money safe. But it was actually about service. He was afraid to work for his master because he was afraid of the consequences of failure, that he would get told off. And we've been given great treasures, not to hide or keep for ourselves or to keep ourselves safe. We've been given them to use in God's service, indeed to risk and put them on the line, all that we have on the line for God in his service, knowing that he isn't a hard master, but a generous master, a forgiving master. Jesus, after all, is on the way to his death, that we might be forgiven for where we've got it wrong. So Jesus makes a challenge to us all, both those who would call themselves Christians and those who wouldn't. I've given you so much. Just the very basics of being a human are enough. Life, family, friends, work, a beautiful world to enjoy. Are you going to use those things to seek me and to discover my son Jesus? He's offering a wonderful gift of forgiveness. If you haven't put your faith in me already, are you going to keep these things for yourself? Or risk them to follow Jesus and be a part of his work in the world. And Jesus challenges those who are following already to invest what God has given them, given you in seeking his, in all the generosity he's given, to put that to work, to risk it all so that you might serve Jesus. Not just to keep it and keep it to yourself and keep you and your family and your church safe, but putting them on the line, risking them to invest in growing the church, in serving God, in welcoming others into the family of God, even if it means giving up some of what you like and enjoy, how you like church to be, even if it involves the risk of failure, because we serve a forgiving God. So the call is to service and to put what God has given to us to work for him. And so we come to the end of the story and the final paragraph where Jesus ends on the note of judgment. We've had the carrot, that wonderful picture of our future life, our future hope, with better gifts than anything this life affords. And now there's the stick, as it were. The servant who didn't invest, things did not end well for him. The servant who did not serve his master could no longer be a servant, could he? So the master says, throw that worthless servant outside. And Jesus is again hinting at final judgment, that in the end, if people don't take up his offer of forgiveness of their wrongdoing and a relationship with God, they cannot be there in the future world. The future world will be one of complete justice. There'll be no wrongdoing. So we need that forgiveness of Jesus for all of the things we've done wrong if we are able to enter that new perfect world. But the note of judgment that runs through this part of Matthew's gospel, we must be careful not to misunderstand it. Some of our young people are not particularly eagerly waiting for their exams after Christmas. Good Christmas, exams bad. And this talk of judgment and Jesus judging people for their service in response to him might at first look like an exam that we have to pass to be accepted by God. But we mustn't look at it like that. This little story is just one story in the whole revelation of God's character. And we find other things in the rest of the Bible. We have to read them in light of each other. Elsewhere, we learn that God freely gives to us gifts of grace, of love, of forgiveness, if we just receive it. At this point, as I said, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is on the way to die for each one of us, that we might be forgiven, that we might be able to have freely enter that new wonderful world. Jesus' forgiveness and the hope he offers is a free gift received simply by placing our trust in Jesus. Receiving our hope as a Christian is not an exam we have to pass to be good enough. No, it's a gift we receive by faith. However, as we receive that love and forgiveness and all the blessings of hundreds of years of wages worth of spiritual blessings, we must respond to that. If we don't respond in service, then it shows that maybe we haven't received this great love, this great blessing. Our faith and trust in Jesus needs to become faithful service. If we're not faithfully serving, it shows we have not, after all, put our faith in Jesus and received that love of God. So we serve in response, and it shows that we have indeed received freely what God has given us. So we're encouraged to await Jesus' return by making use of the gifts, the abilities, the blessings that he has freely given to us, to serve him as we wait for his return. And by doing so, we can grow what we have received from Jesus, even in the here and now. We hear that cryptic saying in verse 29 from Jesus, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Again, Jesus is encouraging us to put the gifts he's given us into active service. I don't know how many of you go to the gym. I find the gym is quite a helpful illustration of that. You know, some of us here will go to the gym. Or do some sport, and we'll work our muscles, and they'll get bigger, and we'll be able to do more sport, and, you know, do more things, and, you know, all our muscles will grow, and we'll be able to make more use of them. And some of us, myself, we don't go to the gym, and our muscles waste away, and we're like weaklings, and we can't really do much. And it's a bit like that with the things that God has given us. He's given us wonderful gifts for service. If we use them for his service, they grow, and we find more of God's blessing here and now and even more in the future. But if we don't use those gifts from Jesus, we don't exercise our abilities, they will waste away and what we have will be lost. If we fail even to exercise our spiritual muscles for God, then even our ability to respond to him may well disappear. So Jesus encourages all of us, don't be fearful, don't avoid risking it for God, but to serve him. Because God has not given us a task beyond what we're able to do. It says at the start, doesn't it? He gave each according to his ability. God knows each of us intimately. He knows how he's equipped us. He's equipped us in the perfect possible way for the perfect possible service that he's calling us to do. And we notice that the two that did invest their gold, they get the same reward. They don't get different rewards because one had done five and one had done two. We're not compared to others in our service, just to our faithfulness to what God has called us and asked us to do. This isn't about rewarding people depending on their performance, but giving great blessings to all who faithfully follow and serve Jesus, whatever that service is. It might be the small faithfulness of a life following Jesus in an ordinary job or in the home, responding to the needs of the others around us when appropriate and speaking of Jesus when we can. That faithfulness might be small. Or it might be massive. It might be going off to a deep, dark, dangerous part of the world to serve God as a missionary. But the reward is the same. The reward for faithful service is the same. It's eternity with God, living in his love, seeing him face to face, finding peace and joy in a world free of evil, sin and death. It's sharing in our master's joy and happiness. It far exceeds being given 100 years' wages to look after. For God does not so much reward us for the magnitude of our service, but for taking the risk of placing our faith in his son Jesus and then putting that faith into faithful action, faithful service. And we look forward as faithful servants to hear, to be welcomed into the new world with those words of Jesus ringing in our ears. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray that we will get there. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've blessed us abundantly with so many good gifts. And as we look at this passage today, we ask and pray that we would put those gifts into service in seeking your son and serving him in the world. Give us the strength when we feel weak. Give us the ability when we feel that we can't do it. But we thank you that you are with us and you've given us and equipped us with all that we need. Please help us to dedicate our lives again to your service today, we pray. We pray in your precious name. Amen.